No score in the game. Bottom half of the third inning. And now Johnson into the windup, and his first pitch is swung on and missed for strike one. Pitch way out of the strike zone, up around the eye. Now the windup and the one strike pitch to Al Jackson. A bunt attempt, but it's foul. Ball going back of home plate. Strike two. Jackson likes to bunt. And the infield playing fairly deep on the right field side at first and second. Bob Aspermonte at third base was playing in front of the bag. Now he has moved back with two strikes. And here's the 0-2 pitch to Jackson. It's fouled back, so the count will hold it 0-2 once again. Aspermonte, incidentally, has a 54 consecutive game error streak going. But actually, he has to wait until the suspended game is played off before he'll know whether or not that's a major league record for third baseman. Here's the two-strike pitch again. A swing and a miss for strike three. So Ken Johnson picks up his third strikeout. And with two men out, the batter will be Elio Chacon. Elio lined out to left field his first time up. He's batting 241, batting from the right-hand side with two home runs and 25 runs batted in. Getting back to the errorless streak of Bob Aspermonte, he'll have to wait until the suspended game is played off. That'll be this Thursday at 1:30. And he'll have to go through that game before he can get the Major League record for errorless games at third base. Here's the first pitch to Elio Chacon. It's on the outside corner, strike one. Actually, in that suspended game, an error was charged to him on a ball hit by Jim Hickman. Now the next pitch to Chacon outside, one ball, one strike. But after the game was over, it was the consensus that the ball was not an error and it was a base hit, so they reversed the scoring and Aspermonte got off the hook on the error. Ball was hit very hard. I would say definitely that it was a base hit. Now the 1-1 pitch. Popped up in the air and foul territory, but it'll go out of play. Chasing is Norm Locker, but he has no chance. So the count moves to one ball and two strikes as Chacon fouls into the stand. No score in the game. The Colt 45s have no runs on two hits. The Mets have been held to one hit by Ken Johnson. That base hit coming off the bat of Marv Thornberry in the second inning. Now the 1-2 pitch to Chacon, a swing and a miss for strike three. And Ken Johnson strikes out the second man in the inning, his fourth in the game, to retire the side. And the score at the end of three innings of play. The Colt 45s nothing, the New York Mets nothing. Well, the other day, on a day off, we got a chance to take a look at the new ballpark, and it is really going to be beautiful. And the progress has come along so nicely now that the Mets are accepting applications for season boxes and combination plan tickets. Prospective purchasers may send names and addresses to Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. And application blanks will be sent them. Present subscribers need not apply, as applications will be mailed to them. Place to mail in for your box seat, season boxes, and your combination plan tickets is Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. The distances at the new ballpark will be about 340 down each line and about 410 feet in center field. Quite a bit different from right here where it's 475 to center field and 250 down the right field line, 270 down the left field line. And it's going to be quite a ballpark. You know, this is the time of year when a frosty glass of beer seems to taste best. And when that glass holds cold, refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry, oh boy, it tastes even better. That's because Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. And dry tells you why. Enjoy it, right along with the game. And we're moving along in the game at the top of the fourth. No score. And the first pitch by Al Jackson to Jim Pendleton is a strike call, the fastball through. Pendleton bounced to third his first time up. He's batting 244. Right-hand batting left fielder. Jackson back to work, and the one strike pitch is lined foul down the left field line. The ball curving out of the reach of Felix Mantilla. So the count 0-2 against the right-hand batter. It will be Jim Pendleton, Norm Larker, and Carl Warwick here in the fourth inning. The third, fourth, and fifth batters in the lineup. Jim has been tough against the Mets this year. He has really hit well. Now here's Jackson with a two-strike pitch. It's hit deep to left center field. Moving back, Thomas, also Hickman. Hickman is closer. He turns and he makes the catch. So Pendleton flies out to deep left center field for out number one here in the top of the fourth with no score. And it'll bring up Norm Larker, left-hand batting first baseman. Norm was out on the ground at second base his first time up. He's batting 263. 8 home runs and 53 runs batted in. In 1960, Norm hit 323 and was second in the National League batting race. Second to Dick Grote, who hit 325. Norm at that time playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And he looks at a fastball in the outside corner for strike one. Now the left-hander Al Jackson into the windup, and the one-strike pitch to Larker. Slow curveball hits sharply down to first base. Taken on the first hop by Marv Thornberry. He turns, throws Al Jackson for out number two. Oh, Marv Thornberry turned a base hit and two and out on a fine play, and that will bring up Carl Warwick. Warwick got in the air to left field his first time up. He's batting 268. 16 home runs and 61 runs batted in. Choo-Choo Coleman out to the mound to talk to Al Jackson, who so far has given up two hits, both doubles, one to Bob Lillis and one to Joe Malfitano. No score. The Mets have one base hit. And with two out, Jackson goes to work. And his first pitch to the right-hand batter is outside and low for ball one. Warwick acquired from the St. Louis Cardinals in exchange for Bobby Chance. There's a sinking fastball that moves down too low. Two balls and no strike. Jackson back to Warwick with a fastball that is outside, ball three. So Al Jackson, who has not given up a walk, is now 3-0 to Carl Warwick with two men out and Bob Aspermonte in the on-deck circle. Jackson into the windup, and the 3-0 pitch is low for ball four. That moves Warwick down 90 feet to first base and brings up Bob Aspermonte. Bob lined out to the shortstop Elias Chacon his first time up, and it was a great play by Chacon to come up with the ball. He made a high jumping backhanded catch for the out. Bob batting 266 for the year, 11 home runs and 56 runs batted in. And the right-hand batter looks at a fastball that is way inside for ball one. So Jackson now with five straight balls, 1-0 to Bob Aspermonte. And the next pitch is low for ball two. Two balls and no strikes. The on-deck batter, Roman Mejias. Jackson into the short stretch position. A look at first base and back with a 2-0 pitch. And there is strike one. Fastball on the outside corner just above the knees. That moves the count to two balls and one strike with two men out. Scott Deal coaching at first base. Harry Kraft at third. And Jackson now over to first base to keep Warwick honest. He gets back safely. Now Jackson set on the mound. And back to the plate. A curveball swung on and missed for strike two. Choo-Choo Coleman lost the ball in the air as he started to pick it up to throw it. Reached up and pulled it out of the air. Runner holding at first base. And the count now, 2-2. Jim Hickman in center field, a shade toward left center. And now Jackson back to work with a fastball that's low, and the count goes full at 3-2. That'll give Wolverick a chance to run at first base with two men out, and Mara Thornberry now moves behind him to get more defensive room. The on-deck batter is Roman Mejias. And the runner goes on the 3-2 pitch. It's hit on the ground slowly to third. Mantilla in, throws the first base in time to retire the side. Felix Mantilla played the ball slowly, but still got his man with plenty of time. No runs, no hits, no errors. One walk, one man left on. And the score at the end of 3 1/2 innings of play. The Colt 45 is nothing. The New York Mets, nothing. Well, now, let me see. Prue Walt, Eileen O'Neill, Beverly Owen, Chris Noel, Carol Merrill, Loretta Russell. Wonder who will be next Miss Rheingold. Well, I can tell you this. I'm glad the choice isn't up to me. The six candidates for Miss Rheingold 1963 are as pretty a six-pack as I've ever seen. But who's going to win? It's all up to you. Your votes will decide who will be your Miss Rheingold 1963. And there is just one way to make sure your favorite will be your next Miss Rheingold. Vote. The familiar Miss Rheingold ballot boxes are up in the 45,000 stores and taverns all over town that sell beer as beer should taste, Rheingold Extra Dry. So next time you're ordering New York's favorite beer, join in on the nation's second largest election and drop in a vote or two for your favorite candidate. Listen, along with the game, treat yourself to a brisk, bright flavor of a sparkling glass of Rheingold Extra Dry. You'll join the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Bottom half of the fourth inning, no score, and the first man up is Coleman. He attempts a bunt and pops it high in the air. Ken Johnson just stands there, waits and makes the catch. So Coleman, who struck out his first time up, now is 0 for 2. On a bunt attempt and with one out and no score, the batter will be Felix Mantilla. Felix bounced back to the pitcher his first time up. He came on at the game with a 279 average. Right hand batting third baseman. And Ken Johnson now into the windup and to the plate with a knuckleball that's on the outside corner for strike one. Johnson now through 3 1/3 innings has given up no runs, allowed only one hit, that to Marv Thornberry in the on-deck circle. And he has struck out four while walking one. There's a one-strike pitch hit deep in the hole coming over Bob Willis. A good play as he throws over to first base in time. Willis covered up the ground quickly at shortstop, went in the hole, got in front of the ball, and threw quickly to get his man for out number two. So the man who Maury Wills beat out, Bob Willis, turns in a good play as Marv Thornberry comes up. Marv singled to center field his first time up. He's 1 for 1, batting 251. 16 home runs and 48 RBI. And Ken Johnson in the windup, and the first pitch to the left-hand batter is a fastball under the chin for ball one. Johnson is not too fast, but his fastball looks fast after the assortment of curveballs, knuckleballs, and change of paces that he dishes up. Now the 1-0 pitch, a changeup that has popped up. Coming in at second base, Ken Aspermonte, correction, Joe Malfitano, and he makes the catch to retire the side. So Ken Johnson turns the Mets away 1-2-3 in the bottom half of the fourth inning, and the score stays the same at nothing-nothing. Now as we move along to the fifth inning of play, once again here is Lindsey Nelson.
All right, Ralph. Between games tonight, of course, we're going to be honoring Casey Stengel here, and there's another big special event that'll take place here at the Polo Grounds tomorrow between games of the Twi-Night doubleheader against Houston, and tomorrow night also will be the only ladies' night of the year. Two Owens cabin cruisers will be awarded to Met players by Howard Close tomorrow night. One cabin cruiser worth $5,000 will be given to the most valuable Met player as voted by the fans. And a second cruiser worth $7,000 will be given to the Met with the highest score for hitting the Howard signs here at the Polo Ground. The winner of this vote will not be determined until the conclusion of the first game tomorrow night. Right now, Mara Thornberry is leading in that competition. Frank Thomas still has a chance to catch him. In addition, Kathy Kirsch, Miss Rheingold 1962, and Eileen Rogers, the beautiful TV performer and Broadway singing star of the musical Anything Goes, will help in the presentation. Howard Clothes will also present 5 complete wardrobes and 5 suits of clothes to fans who participate in the voting. Remember, Howard Clothes Night, tomorrow night, Wednesday, September 19th. We're moving now to the top half of the fifth inning. Al Jackson, the starter, is still in there for the New York Mets, and up to lead off for the Houston Colt 45, Roman Mejias. Right-hand batter, the right fielder, has been up one time, and he grounded out short to first. Jackson works with the windup and the pitch. It is high and away as Mejias shortened up and bluffed the bunt. Took the pitch outside for ball one. And the pitch is swung on, belted into left field. This is in there for a base hit. Thomas coming over to try to cut it off. It gets by him, and it goes on past and near the bullpen area. Hickman is up with it, relays it in. Mejias on his way to third. Dives in head first. There's no play on him. There is Chacon, runs the ball back to the infield. It's a triple for Roman Mejias. Frank Thomas came over to try to stab it and cut it off. It got on past him, and Hickman had to run it down in the bullpen area. He relayed it into Elio Chacon. And Roman Mejias went sliding in head first at third, and he has a triple. So the Colts 45 have it open up here in the top half of the fifth. The next base hit, and that brings up Hal Smith. He's been up one time. Popped out to first base. Mets pull the infield in to try to cut off the run at the plate here. Now there is no score in this game, and we're in the fifth inning. Pitch is swung, and it's a high foul ball on the right field line out of play. Strike one count to the Houston catcher, Hal Smith. In the first inning, after Bob Lillis had flied out to center field, Joey Amalfitano doubled, and then he moved on to third on an infield out, but died there when Norm Larker grounded out. Jackson works with the full windup here. The pitch swung on and foul back out of play. It's strike two. Jackson got the Colts out in order in the second and the third with 2 men out. Bob Lillis doubled, but died there when Joey Amalfitano flied to right. And the fourth inning with 2 men out, Carl Warwick walked, but died there when Aspromonte grounded out. Now the Colts have opened up in the top of the fifth with a triple, their third hit of the night off Al Jackson. Al Smith backs out of the batter's box. Time has been called by umpire Tony Vinson. Now pitch is flying. It's a high foul ball coming back. Choo-Choo Coleman looking for a play. He's underneath, and Choo-Choo one-handed. Almost misjudged it and just managed to one-hand it for the out, and right now, with 1 man out and a runner at third, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, 810 on your dial, where the time is 1 minute past 7, the temperature 59 degrees.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy here at the Polo Grounds, and pitcher Ken Johnson, the right-hand batter, is up for the Colt 45s. The Mets still have the infield in, hoping to cut off the run at the plate. Jackson still works with the full windup, and the pitch swung on and foul back onto the screen for strike one. Ken Johnson has been up one time, and he popped up to first. This season he has been up 50 times, and he has 4 base hits for a batting average of .080. And Mejias is coming home, and the pitch is bunted, the squeeze is on, and he is in there with the run as the play is made on over to first to Sally Our other two, Sammy Drake, covering. It was a suicide squeeze, and they had Roman Mejias running on the pitch. It was tight and high, but Johnson managed to bunt the ball for the sacrifice that gets the run across. And the Colts are out in front here by a score of 1-0 on the squeeze with one man out. Now there are two men out, nobody on, and Bob Lillis is coming up. Ken Johnson, the big pitcher, almost neglected to run it out at all after he had managed to bunt the ball. He got out of the way of Mejias, of course, and then made a belated start to first base. This ball is bunted down to third baseline. Jackson fields it, slipped down. He has no play. And on at first is Lillis with a base hit. Jackson fielded the ball cleanly, but slipped down right on the seat of his pants and was able to make no play. So score that as a bunt base hit. Two men out, Joey Amalfitano coming up. He doubled the first inning and flied to right in the third. The Houston Colt 45 is leading by a score of 1-0 here in the top half of the fifth inning. Between games of tonight's twi-night doubleheader, Casey Stengel will be honored for 50 years service in the major league. That pitch is high. It's ball one. Casey Stengel, of course, broke in with the Brooklyn Dodgers as a player. He played with the New York Giants. He began his managerial career with Brooklyn. He later managed the Yankees and is managing the New York Mets. So Casey has worn the uniform of four New York baseball clubs in his 50-year Major League career. Pitches outside for ball. It's 2-0. Speaking at a luncheon today, Casey said, "I have to hide sometimes in my backyard in Glendale, California, but I must admit I made most of my money in the East. Thank you very much." 2-0 is the count. That pitch is high. Three balls and no strikes now to Amalfitano. Jackson takes a moment now to rub up the ball. Right in there for a call strike. It's 3-1. Colt 45 scoring their run on a suicide squeeze. Here's a throw to first, not in time. That play is very aptly named because if the batter does not happen to bunt the baseball, it is certainly suicide for the base runner. Here's a swing and a line drive foul on the right field line. One hop on up into the stands. It's a full count. Joey Amalfitano. Lillis leads off the bag at first base. Thornberry's not holding him on. This pitch is swung on. Foul right down into the dirt. No play on it. That will bring Bob Lillis back. He, of course, was moving on the 3-2 pitch with two men out. Jackson looking in to get a sign. Lillis leaves. He's off, and here's the pitch, swung on, line to right field. Christopher coming over, and he can't get there. He's going to have to play it off the wall. Christopher up with it, Lillis to third, and he is being held up at third as Thornberry, the cutoff man, takes the ball in the middle of the diamond, and Amalfitano pulls up at second with a double. His second two-base hit of the night. Here's the Colt 45, runners at second and third with two men out, and Jim Pendleton coming up. Well, Joey Amalfitano was not in the original starting lineup posted tonight by manager Harry Kraft. Johnny Temple was listed as the number two batter and second baseman, but a knee was bothering that he sustained in a collision with Joe Torre in Milwaukee, and he was told to work out, take batting practice, and see how it felt. He did not feel good, so Kraft decided not to play Temple, instead to play Joey Amalfitano. He has responded with two doubles and three times at bat. Here's Pendleton. He's grounded out and flied out in two previous trips. Broken bat, one hopper to Chacon at short. He plays it over to Thornberry in time, and the side is retired. So in the top half of the fifth inning, the Colt 45 got one run. On three hits, there were no errors and two men left. And at the end of 4 1/2 innings of play at the Polo Grounds, the score is the Houston Colt 45's one and the New York Mets nothing. Now a message from Rheingold Extra Dry, told completely with music. Fifth inning, and the New York Mets send up Frank Thomas, the number five man in the batting order. Frank has been up one time, and he walked. Ken Johnson, 6 feet, 4 inches tall, 210-pounder on the mound, a big right-hander into the windup, and here's the pitch to Thomas. Swung on and fouled off for strike one. Joe Christopher on deck for the Mets. Starting a little rhythmic applause in support of the Mets here in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Breaking ball misses way outside, comes on back, as a matter of fact, glancing off the backhand attempt of Hal Smith, the Corrales. 1-1 now. A 1-1 pitch. Low, and it's 2-1. In the second game of this tri-night doubleheader, Hal Woodyshick is scheduled to go for the Colt 45s, and Larry Foss is scheduled to pitch for the New York Mets. Foss recently obtained from the Pittsburgh Pirates organization. So curveball outside. 3-1 now to Frank Thomas. Foss pitched at Asheville in the Sally League this year, where he won 10 games and lost 5. Here's a 3-1 pitch. Swung on and foul back onto the screen, out of play, and it's a full count to Thomas. Ken Johnson reared back and fired that one. Johnson tugging at the Billovich cap, looking in for a sign from battery mate Hal Smith. Tony Vinson indicates we're ready for play. And here is a payoff pitch. It's high. He walks in for the second time. Ken Johnson has walked only two. Both of them have been Frank Thomas. So the Mets have the potential tying run on at first now with nobody out and Joe Christopher coming up. Christopher's been up one time and he struck out swinging. He's looking down to Cookie Lavagetta, the sign man at third, to see what he's doing here, strategy-wise. Thomas leads at first, being held on by Larker. The pitch, and it is bunted foul. Strike one to Joe Christopher. Had the sacrifice on. Sammy Drake is on deck for the Mets, with the Houston Colt 45s leading here by a score of 1-0 in the bottom half of the fifth inning. Johnson with the pitch. It is bunted this time out in front of the plate. Hal Smith overruns it. There's no play on it. No play is at play. Runners at first and second. Hal Smith trying to make the play on the bump, overran it. Score it as a base hit. Score it as a base hit for Joe Christopher. As the ball was bunted out in front of the plate, and catcher Hal Smith, in trying to barehand it to make the play on, he would have had no play at second base anyway. Trying to overrun it to make the play on at first, he overran it. So both runners are safe. And the official score interprets it as a base hit. Christopher and Sammy Drake is up there, left-hand batter. Let's see what he's doing. Here's the pitch, and he shortened up a little and took it outside. Ball one. Took that hand down the bat, though, to lay it down, and then took it outside. Ball one. At third base, Bob asked for money. He's even with the edge of the grass. Now moves up a step into the cutout. Norm Larker at first in a similar position in anticipation of a bunt attempt. He's swinging, and it's a ground ball. It's going to go through. Flags the ball to hold Christopher at second. Sammy Drake is on at first with a single right and run batted in. Here was the play with Drake pulled in, or rather with Larka pulled in. Drake hit the ground ball between Amal Patana and Norm Larka for a base hit on out into right field. Thomas turned at third. Roman Mejia charged the ball, tried to come up with it, but simply flipped it up into the air. Couldn't find the handle for a moment. Then changed his mind, decided to throw to third, and almost overthrew. Aspromonte at third pulled him way off the bag. So the Mets have runners at first and second. One run in. The score is tied 1-1, and Jim Hickman is at the plate. Hickman, a right-hand batter with a wide stance. Still nobody out from the Mets. Hickman squares, punched the ball down the first baseline. Fielded by Johnson. You'd have to go to first. He does. The sacrifice successfully executed. As the play went, if you're scoring at 1-4, Joey Amalfitano covering at first base on the sacrifice, which has moved Joe Christopher to third base and has moved Sammy Drake to second base. And we'll bring up now pitcher Al Jackson. Action in the cold bullpen. It's Russ Camera, right-hander. Veteran performer Russ Camera throwing in the bullpen. So the Mets have tied it up here, 1-1 in the bottom half of the fifth inning, and the Colts pull the infield in now to try to cut off a run at the plate. One man out. Big Ken Johnson looking in as he's done. Works straight away now. He's run to second and third. And Jackson hits the ground ball to Larka. He overruns it. And coming on to score is Christopher. The play to first base is in time. But the run has scored. As Larka got his glove on the ball, knocked it down, overrun it by a step. Had to pick it up and play it. On over to first to Malfitano in time. Holding at second, Sammy Drake. A run in, and the Mets are leading here by a score of 2-1 with two men out. Nelio Chacon coming up. Give Al Jackson a run batted in on the infield out. Chacon's a right-hand batter. He has lined out to left field and struck out tonight. Right arm pitcher's in there for a call, strike one. Choo Choo Coleman now waiting on deck for the Mets. Johnson comes set, and here's the pitch. It's high for ball. 1-1. This is the first game of a twi-night doubleheader here at the Polo Grounds. We'll have another twi-night doubleheader tomorrow night. Single game Thursday afternoon to be preceded with the completion of a suspended game. Breaking ball outside. It's 2-1. Al Smith steps a few steps out in front of the plate. Toss the ball back to Ken Johnson. Ken Johnson into the stretch position. Drake leads at second. Throw to second. He's back safely. Amalfitano taking the throw back there. Second baseman, Joey Amalfitano. Count to Chacon is two balls and one strike. pitch. Swung on. It's a fly ball to center field. Carl Warwick moves over. Underneath and waiting, and Carl Warwick hauls it down for the out. The cone is flat out to center in the bottom of the fifth. The Mets got two runs on two hits. There were no errors and one left. And at the end of five full innings of play, the score is New York Mets 2 and the Houston Colts 45, 1. Good feel, no hit. Four little words that summed up a baseball prospect. Extra dry. Two little words that sum up the story of New York's largest selling beer. And that has to be Rheingold Extra Dry Beer. Yes, Extra Dry tells you why Rheingold is so much more refreshing than other beers. Extra Dry tells you why Rheingold is so wonderful. Extra Dry tells you why Rheingold is a better beer. Brewed from the choicest ingredients, Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Brisk and bright and clean, clear through. And this happy fact you'll discover with your very first glass. Isn't it about time you enjoyed the difference dry can make? All you have to do is ask for Rheingold. Rheingold Extra Dry. Have a glass right now. Enjoy fine, cold Rheingold along with our baseball game. We're going out of the top half of the sixth inning. And the Colt 45s will send up Norm Larker, batting number four in the batting order. Been up twice, grounded out both times. Left-hand batter. Facing left-hander Al Jackson. Little Al with a windup in the pitch. That's a bunted at strike one. Jackson has a season's record of 8 victories and 18 losses. Pitches inside, 1-1. Here's a swing and a ground ball to second base. A big hop to Sammy Drake. He plays on to Thornberry in time. And Norm Larker has grounded out second to first. There's one away, nobody on. And Carl Warwick is coming up. Light out to left and walk. Ball is bunted down the third baseline, a foul ball taken by Mantilla. That will bring Warway back, trying to bunt for the base hit. Goes to strike one. Up to right now, the biggest winner on the pitching staff for the Mets is also the biggest loser, Roger Craig. Pitches in there for a call, strike two to Warwick. Craig has won 9 games and lost 23. The same thing is true of the Colt 45s. Their biggest winner is their biggest loser, Dick Farrell. He's won 9 and lost 19. Bob Bruce has won 9 and lost 8. Pitch is high. 1-2 now to Warwick. Jackson's pitch. On away. It's 2-2. The Mets 2 and the Colt 45s 1 here in the top half of the sixth inning. Here's a 2-2 pitch. Swung out and missed, strike three. He struck him out. And for little Al Jackson, that's his first strike out of the evening. Coming here in the top half of the sixth. Two men out, nobody on, and Bob Aspromonte's coming up. Lined out to Chacon at shortstop. Grounded out third to first. Pitch is swung on and has a high fly ball into right field. Joe Christopher coming in, and Christopher has it for the out. Top half of the sixth inning, the Colts 45s are out in order with no runs on no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of five and a half at the Polo Grounds, the score is the New York Mets 2 and the Houston Colts 45s 1. Say, what's your idea of a wonderful day? An excursion in the suburbs? Day on the Sound? Trip to a lake? Or maybe just a long journey into your own backyard with your portable radio? Well, no matter which, any day becomes a little bit more wonderful when you have refreshing Rheingold beer on hand. Yes, sir, Rheingold is something special when it comes to beer, and dry tells you why. Rheingold's way of brewing is long, slow, and costly, but you can measure the difference in taste. Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Brisk and bright and clean, clear through. And isn't that the way you want your beer to be? Sure it is. So make Rheingold your beer. Join the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Find out for yourself why Rheingold is New York's largest selling beer. Have a glass right now, along with the game. We're going out of the bottom half of the sixth inning, and Choo Choo Coleman is up to lead off for the Mets. Ken Johnson works pitch outside for ball one. Choo Choo struck out swinging in the first inning and popped the ball up trying to bunt in the bottom half of the fourth, trying to drag one. That is a maneuver he executes very well, incidentally. Uses his speed to excellent advantage. Pitch is low, and it's 2-0 to Choo Choo Coleman. That pitch is in there for a call strike. It's 2-1. Hey, hot dog. Swing and a miss. Choo Choo taking the riffle. It's 2-2. He swung on and pulled foul. Count holds it 2-2 to Choo Choo. Leading off for the Mets here in the bottom half of the sixth inning, New York 2 and Houston 1. Johnson looking in for his side. Starts the big pitching motion, and here's a 2-2 pitch held up and taken outside for ball. Choo-choo started to go. He had a big notion and held up at the last moment to run the count out full at 3-2.